Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So I understand why we need heroes, but why do we need superheroes? Characters like Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, the X-Men have such staying power and have crossed over to huge live-action blockbusters and mean mega millions for Hollywood. And Asians and Asian Americans can claim a lot of responsibility for the popularity of the comic form and the graphic novel. So have you ever asked yourself, why aren't there any Asian superheroes? Jeff Yang, the Asian pop columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, has, and he has co-edited a new anthology now of Asian American superheroes called Secret Identities. Welcome back to WNYC, Jeff.
Always a pleasure.
So what's the importance of having superheroes in your culture?
Well, you know, this is something which has kind of been highlighted for me because I recently had my second child. Me and my wife did. He's 1 year old. And I remember growing up myself kind of embracing the whole escapist fantasy of superheroes as a way to, you know, really kind of imagine that there was a world outside there where somebody like me could be heroic, you know. I mean, behind the masks, behind those sort of capes and cowls, there might be somebody who looked like me who was extraordinary. And the fact is, you know, that sort of mythology that we grow up with as kids, I mean, guys especially, but increasingly girls as well, is so critical to kind of shaping our sense of the possible, you know, even more so now because comic books have become so mainstream.
So you actually challenged, commissioned professional graphic novelists and comic book writers and amateurs alike to come up with Asian superheroes?
Yeah, it was sort of fascinating to us that there are so many Asian Americans behind the scenes. I mean, people like Jim Lee, Sean Chen, Greg Pak, in the comics industry, but so few actual Asian American superheroes. And, you know, the ones that were out there were kind of, you know, moderately lame. And, you know, we realized that part of the reason is because when you deal with comics, you're not dealing with stories. You're dealing with universes, you know, the DC universe, the Marvel universe, right? These continuities that have been around for 5 decades and more. And as a result, there's like a kryptonite ceiling, you know, that prevents you from getting a kind of broader diversity of representation in the comics world, in the superhero world, unless you create new characters, unless you literally reinvent the wheel that produced, you know, these origins to begin with.
So I want to play some audio that represents this a little bit because you guys also turned the comic strips that you commissioned and turned into this book into motion graphics. And I want to play a piece of the comic that – this is a kind of a dramatization of the comic from your website that serves as the preface to the book. The protagonist here is a young Asian American kid whose mother makes him wear a Hello Kitty shirt to school, and here he is playing superheroes with his non-Asian friends.
Okay, the game is superheroes. I call Batman. Whiz! I clobber you with my batarang. Ha ha!
I'm Spider-Man. I dodge your batarang with my spidey sense.
I'm Superman. I blast you both with my searing heat vision.
Hold it. You can't be Superman. You're Shang-Chi, master of kung fu.
I don't want to be Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi sucks.
Karate Kid?
No.
Iron Fist?
No.
Okay, then you're Magical Princess Kitty. Watch out, guys. She's going to tickle you with her smiling gumdrop wand.
That was pretty rich.
It's loosely semi-autobiographical. But, you know, it sort of speaks to this notion that, yeah, you know, when you're kids, comic book heroes are the heroes you really kind of they're the framers of the dialogue in the playground. They're the, you know, stuff that you kind of project all of your dreams and ambitions on. And there just weren't too many once you actually stripped off the masks, which did, in fact, reflect an experience that I and my co-editors, Parry Shen, Keith Chow, and Jerry Ma, really kind of lived ourselves.
We put a question on our Facebook page today. Who is your Asian superhero? So somebody wrote back Buddha. Somebody wrote back Hayao Miyazaki, the director of Spirited Away and other films. And they're slowly coming in. People don't have a lot to draw on.
Well, it is very challenging. I mean, again, the number of Asian American superheroes in the mainstream out there are pretty slim, and I'm not sure what Buddha or like Buddha Man would really look like, kind of, you know, have the power of nothingness, right?
Wouldn't be an action figure exactly, right?
Kind of an inaction figure, yes. But, you know, the interesting thing about the book is we were able to, you know, just by outreaching, not just within the comics industry, but to a lot of creators outside of it as well, from film and television and elsewhere, to get this incredible diversity of different kinds of heroes. And it almost puzzled us after we got these stories and ideas together why there weren't more. I mean, there's just a rich mine.
From our website, somebody posted already, I've always been surprised at the paucity of Asian superheroes in comics because there's lots of Asian comic book fans and many of the most popular artists, such as Jay Lee and Jim Lee, are Asian, and there's a lot of influence of Asian arts and culture. There seem to be far fewer African-American and Latino creators, but more of a demand for that representation.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I think there has been a genuine effort to diversify comics recently. It's actually something that's created some controversy in kind of the fanboy legions because they've taken existing heroes and sort of stripped them of their costumes and put them on other people with different faces and backgrounds. And that, you know, it's a great thing in some ways, but it's also, you know, disruptive to the whole larger storyline.
Is the whole idea of a superhero kind of an artifact of American culture? In that it's the individual standing against the collective society, and so that's not very Asian traditionally?
You know, that's a really interesting point because one of the kind of lesser known, you know, obscure heroes out there that was created as an attempt to kind of create an Asian hero was this Chinese hero, People's Republic of China hero called Collective Man, who sort of wielded the power of the masses. But yeah, you know, this it's a very American thing, this notion of the individual hero, this sort of, you know, almost Yankee ruggedness around the invention of the hero archetype. And yet at the same time, I mean, part of the reason we thought there was a value in looking at it through an Asian American lens is because a lot of these hero origin stories are kind of immigrant stories. Like, you look at Superman, comes from a far planet, you know, glasses, black hair, mild-mannered.
Right.
So
that's funny. From our comments page again, Eva writes, as 70s kids desperately hungry for Asian faces in U.S. media, we always suspected, hoped that Marcy, Peppermint Patty's more cautious friend from Peanuts, was actually Asian. Check the classically Chinese bobbed, banged haircut, the glasses, and the stereotypically academic overachievement and ineptitude at sports. Also, she's curiously familiar with classical music, probably not by choice if you met her mother. Plus, like us, she showed un-American elder respect with the constant sir bit. Did you suspect? Fact, Eva wants to know that Marcy was Asian as a kid.
Yeah. I guess when I was when I wasn't sort of, you know, falling into accidental Charlie Brownisms, you know, Marcy was actually one of my favorite characters in Peanuts, I will say.
Lex in the Bronx has a favorite Asian superhero. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good. Who was it?
It was Psylocke from the X-Men.
Oh.
She was amazingly beautiful, and she had this psychic knife that was like the focus of all of her, you know, psychic powers. And she was a ninja to boot, with a British accent, mind you.
So, thank you. So there's one exception?
Well, yes and no, because Psylocke is actually one of the most bizarre creations one can kind of imagine in that she didn't start out Asian. She was actually, as you know, you point out, a British character, a British superhero character, who somehow or other kind of got, you know, a race change operation in this sort of alien dimension and then turned Asian and therefore got ninja skills, which is sort of typical of how people kind of retrofit ethnicity in some ways for various purposes, and it feels a little weird to me, you know?
The anthology is full of what you call shadow histories, a sort of re-envisioning of history. Give me an example.
Well, you know, one of the things we started to see as more and more people submitted ideas for stories and characters was that they started to track, you know, real experiences and events. I mean, World War II, for instance, it was a really rich source, not just because of the Japanese-American internment. You know, there's this great story, 9066, which is about the first kind of public Asian-American superhero who happened to be Japanese-American. And he's interned along with the rest of his family. And he has to make this hard decision whether or not to, you know, fight or submit. And he realizes that he can't fight because of fear of what will happen to his community. And then, of course, the dropping of the nuclear bomb. I mean, that obviously was a huge, huge, you know, origin point for heroes.
Which goes to the fact that certainly Japanese and maybe other Asian comic book figures, when they did appear, were portrayed as villains.
Yes.
For you know, a long period of time after World War II. Pearl in Mount Vernon has a favorite Asian superhero. Hi, Pearl.
Hi. Hi, good morning. I don't know if he was ever a comic book hero, but he was certainly a hero in movies. Zatoichi, the blind swordsman from Japan.
You know, that's a great point. First of all, Zatoichi is an awesome hero, period, just as an archetype. But the parallel there, you know, in U.S. comics is probably Daredevil, you know, who has kind of this ninja skills background going on thing, and he's blind himself. Zatoichi obviously has appeared in many movies and in manga in Japan, hasn't really become an archetype as an Asian American character in U.S. comics.
Dan in Astoria. Hi, Dan.
Hello, I'm calling in defense of Shang-Chi, the master of Kung Fu. He was one of the most influential characters in my life, being that he had no superpowers. He was just a master of Kung Fu and was most likely one of the most closest comic book heroes anybody could become.
Dude, I have to agree with you there. I mean, I have turned like 180 degrees on Shang-Chi. In fact, if you read the rest of the preface, there's this whole moment in which we realize that, you know, martial arts, you know, in a tongue-in-cheek sense, martial arts has its privileges, so to speak. And Shang-Chi is a pretty darn cool character. It's just that we would love to see more kinds of heroes out there than just the ones who have ninja abilities in martial arts.
And I guess to put it in the largest possible context in our last few seconds, as Betty Ann from the Upper West Side, East Side, just wrote on our website, it's not just comic books. She says Asians, to the best of my knowledge, are not represented much in any major way in the American media spectrum.
And this is true. And part of the reason why we think comic books are such an interesting gateway into that inclusion is because comics have really become the stuff of which our, you know, media dreams are made. You know, if you look this summer at what the big movies are, we're talking about things like Wolverine and so forth. You look at, you know, merchandise and action figures. It's all in the comics.
Jeff Yang writes the Asian Pop column for the San Francisco Chronicle, and he is now co-edited, and you've got to see it. It is so much fun. A new anthology of Asian American superheroes that he commissioned called Secret Identities. Jeff, thanks a lot.